Can Christians be deceived into believing something about the Bible that's not true? It's been going on for a long, long time. Let's take another listen to this discussion. See if we can be on our P's and Q's. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where our focus for now continues to be the examination of whether or not 21st century Christians can be bewitched or, by definition, captivated by falsehood. What are your thoughts about it? Are we just too sophisticated as Christians in the 21st century to be bewitched, to be captivated by falsehood, to be taken in, to be hoodwinked by false doctrine? I know some of you are wondering about the song. It's entitled Gratitude Mood by David Aravet, from the album entitled Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. I'll definitely be letting you hear some more of that as we go. But what are your thoughts? Can Christians be, are Christians today, captivated by falsehood? Do we have people who are genuine about their walk with God, their walk with the Lord Christ Jesus, and yet can be pulled away from sound doctrine, which means they're being pulled away from God himself, because of those who pretend that they're preaching sound doctrine, teaching sound doctrine, for the purpose of getting that which is false and poisonous into God's people so that they can pull them away from them. Now, I know you might be thinking, come on now, that's a bit of a stretch to say that a person will be pulled away from God just because they're being pulled away from sound doctrine. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit teaches. God, the Holy Spirit, teaches that when his people can be pulled away from sound doctrine, they can also be pulled away from, and indeed will be pulled away from, God. Sound doctrine is what connects us. The acceptance and the embracing of sound doctrine, the Word of God, is what connects us with God in the first place. The Word. It is being connected. It is by the Word that we are saved. The hearing of the Word that we're saved. And especially the continual hearing of the Word, and the continual embracing of the Word that takes us through the continual process of sanctification, so that we do, as the Bible tells us, continue in the faith, follow on in the faith, and never turn away from it. Remember what we shared in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul said, or wrote to the Galatians, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. Notice he didn't say here, I'm astonished that you're so quickly turning away from the gospel. He does say that later on. But right here, he is letting us know the effects of turning away from the gospel. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you. They are deserting a person, the person who called them by the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. And turning to a different gospel, which the Apostle Paul said, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is no gospel at all. They were deserting the one who called them by Christ through the sound gospel, the true gospel. So here we go. We have this situation that we looked into last week, where I posed the question, do we run the risk, we who are following Christ? I'm not talking about hypocrites either. I'm talking about the sincere people of God. Remember, I gave you several references in the book of Galatians that made it very clear that Paul was addressing saints of the Most High God. Hypocrites are people who only pretend. They only pretend that they're following Christ, and they know that they're not. Then you have people who really are following Christ. They really were born again, but they are so focused on pleasing their sinful nature that they almost look like people who don't resemble Christ in their lifestyle. They don't really live out Christian values. They talk Christian values, but they don't live Christian values. And then you have the people who are very sincere, and although they're not perfect, we do work continually at doing a better and better job of progressively living a more and more righteous lifestyle, so that we deliberately live less and less of a sinful lifestyle. And we know that Paul was indeed addressing his letter to Christians, to saints, to people who had been born again, because he addressed them as the churches in Galatia. And he saluted them with the words, "Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins," referring to himself, those who were also sending their input and their greetings to the Galatians, but also referring to the Galatians themselves. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, wrote, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Galatians 1 and 6, he says, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." He says, you're deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. And just in case some of you are tempted to say, well, yeah, they were called, but they did not answer the call. They rejected the call. No, they did not reject the call. They accepted the call. And we know they did, because again, in Galatians 3 and 26, still writing to this same group of people, Paul identifies them as sons of God. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And he gave numerous other references where he made it clear this letter that he wrote to the Galatians is a letter he wrote to saints, to people who have been born again. Now, here's my question that I want to start off with, that I left you with last week, the last time we talked about this. In light of the fact that we saw that Lucifer, who has created a beautiful, beautiful angel with power, authority, and wisdom and righteousness. In light of the fact that he is someone who was created by God, righteous, beautiful, and wise, was it possible for him to also decide at some point that he was no longer satisfied with how God had created him and what God had given him? And we read, for example, in Isaiah 14 that the answer to that question is yes. We read in Ezekiel and we read in Isaiah that it was a very clear and resounding yes. Lucifer definitely was one who decided that he was no longer satisfied with all that God had created him to be, with all that God had given him the ability to do, and he wanted more. We saw that in Isaiah 14 and in Ezekiel 28. And then I asked a question about humans. Can humans, who are created by God, created with his righteous nature and with wisdom and with great ability, decide for whatever the reason that we are not satisfied, we're no longer satisfied with how God has created us and what he has given us the ability to do? And that took us to Genesis chapter 3, where we discovered that, yes, humans too, who have created righteousness and have God's righteous nature working mightily in them, given much, can decide they're no longer satisfied with how God has created them and what he has given them. We saw that in Eve, the very first woman created, created in God's image, given tremendous beauty, great wisdom, and authority to help rule the entire earth. And she was not satisfied after she listened to the one who was once beautiful himself speaking through the serpent, Satan, the devil, the fallen one, the loser, speaking through the serpent and deceiving Eve into thinking God had shortchanged her. She decided to reach for more and make herself better and more than God had created her to be, and to be able to do more than God had created her to do. And she became fallen. She changed her nature. She corrupted her nature just like Lucifer corrupted his. She fell just like Lucifer fell. And you can look throughout Scripture where people have decided they are not satisfied with what God has created them to be. But you can also look at Scripture and see where God gives us people, examples of people who were satisfied with his calling on their lives, with his plan for their lives. And some of them did an outstanding job of fulfilling the role God had created them for. People like Joseph. Yes, people like Joseph, people like Abraham, and the prophetess Deborah, and Moses, Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. So many, and like I said, not perfect, but some of these people truly did an outstanding job of grasping God's call for them, God's role for them, what he had created them to be, and being satisfied with those roles. How about the lady through whom God was going to work to kill the general who was fighting against the people of God when Deborah said, we need to fight and we need to conquer. The man said, well, you know, I won't go into battle unless you go with me. Deborah said, I'll go with you. But the honor of having killed their leader will not go to you. It will go to a woman. And this woman, we hear of one role that she played, and that was to have killed the general when he was fleeing from the army of God, went into a tent of a woman he knew to hide from the men who were chasing him. And he fell asleep from exhaustion. And while he was asleep, the woman picked up a tent peg and a hammer and drove that tent peg all the way through his skull, and he died right there. That's all we've read about her. But that was one of her roles. That was one of her tasks, and she fulfilled her task. It's not all about all people who had prominent roles where they had high positions and were known by everyone. No, some people had small roles that we read about one time. But then others were people who played very, very prominent roles, like Elisha and Elijah, the prophets of God, so many others. Mary, mother of Jesus, just doing an outstanding job of being who she was. And I mean the beauty of this woman to have said to the angel Gabriel, knowing what she was going to have to suffer as a result of being found with child, and she had not yet married. In that culture, she knew she was going to be really given a lot of heat. But she knew that in order to fulfill God's call on her life, giving birth to the one who would save his people from their sins, she was going to have to deal with whatever came with being found with child and not married. And she said to the angel Gabriel, be it unto me, even as you have said, because she knew that what angel Gabriel spoke to her was God's word, which reflected God's will. We could go on and on looking at examples of people who throughout scripture did an outstanding job of being who God called them to be. Stephen was called to be a deacon. He did not, from any indications, aspire to be an apostle. He did not try to go beyond God's call on his life. Yet he was a powerful, powerful, powerful representative of God, a powerful spokesman of God who did not live long. Because those who hated God hated Jesus and hated Stephen, the deacon, for speaking so powerfully as God's representative, as Christ's representative. He did not aspire to be an apostle. He did not aspire to be a pastor. He knew he was called to be a deacon, and he fulfilled that role with excellence. How about us? Do we seek to be that which takes us beyond what God has called us to be? Are there people who are working to try to get us to become dissatisfied, discontent with who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, how we are seen now that we are in Christ, in order to get us to reach for that which God did not call us to reach for? And the answer to that question is yes. There are people who are teaching the people of God that we are Christ. Not like Christ, but we are Christ. There are people who are teaching us that we are gods. Now, I want us to look very, very closely at this. to see whether or not we really are gods. They use the scripture just like so many people throughout the Old Testament days, just like so many people throughout New Testament days. They say that they themselves are followers of Christ, followers of God. Christ more so in the New Testament, God in the Old and New Testaments. They say that they're followers of God and they're following his word. They're complying with his word. They're teaching his word, his truth. And one of the things that they're teaching us is that we are gods. And they use the word of God to support their point, their proposition. One of the passages of scripture that they use to prove their point is Psalm 82. So let's read Psalm 82. As soon as I come back, I'll be reading from the New International Version. I want you to be able to be ready to read along with me, or at least listen along with me, as I read to you the entire chapter. It's only 8 verses long. But let's read it, and then let's prepare to discuss it. Thank you.